are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
My friends, it is a pleasure to be with you at the start of this brand new year. This is January 4th, 2021. Can you believe it? I'm so happy to be here with you to launch this new year on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. We have a very special guest who will be signing on in a few minutes, but I wanted you to open up, if you can, to Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6. I give thanks to my God every time I think of you. I always pray for you, interceding for you with joy because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. My friends, that's 1 Philippians 3 verses 6. If you're driving, I ask that you pray about the scripture tonight and ask the Lord, what does it mean? Because it's very important for us to use the sacred scriptures as a guidepost for our daily decisions and for the days especially that are ahead for all of us. Well, I don't know about you, but it has been one amazing holiday, Christmas season, Advent. You know, it's just when one turns on the news or in social media, the confusion, the lack of piety, the lack of sacredness is astonishing. So I want you to be sure that you tune into this Catholic radio network throughout 2021 as your benchmark to see what the Lord wants of you and to hear correct catechetical information and formation, because it's really critical with all the confusion and all the people who claim they're receiving messages, etc. This particular network works in full accord with the magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church. It is the mission of this apostolate to provide teaching, ministering, healing, community to all who listen. And this is why Kathleen McCarthy is the president of this network and desires for all of you to participate, not just be sitting in the stands listening or on the way home or in the kitchen or in your living room and saying, I think I'll tune in once in a while. No, keep tuning in. Keep tuning in from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday. My friend, today we are going to have Father Jason Kolzinski. He's been on the air quite a bit with me over the last year, but I really prayed about who is the person to start the new year. And the Lord laid it on my heart that he wanted a priest. He really wanted a priest. And we are going to go through an examination of conscience. We're going to take a look at what in the world, why do we need to do an examination of conscience? I'm not talking about the illumination. I'm talking about the examination of conscience. And we're also going to split the program and talk about the year of St. Joseph. What does it mean, the year of St. Joseph? I know that many people that I shared this with said, well, I didn't hear that. I didn't know that, because they're not tuned in. They're not plugged in to Catholic media. So they have no idea the importance of St. Joseph, the consecration to St. Joseph, and all the beautiful, beautiful prayers to St. Joseph, his protective prayers. So we're really going to be talking about the year of St. Joseph, why you need to know about it and tell your family and friends and co-workers. And we're going to be talking about that tough topic that most people don't like to talk about, and that's the examination of conscience. I know I grew up in Catholic school, and we heard about this. We went to confession every Saturday, and we went through an examination of conscience, and not many people even use this term anymore. And that's why we need to go through our examination of conscience. And Father Jason is perfect. He's a wonderful guest to have. And then, of course, we will end the program with a priestly blessing, which is really the greatest gift of all, the gift of priesthood. And we are so blessed to have him come on the air with us today. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this apostolate. You know, we take for granted these apostolates that have been on the air or in print for so many years. We think, oh, the church supports it. Well, the church doesn't support this apostolate. It is a volunteer radio network, and it is supported by the beautiful, as Kathleen McCarthy calls you, angels, the angels who support the network to keep it going. You know, no great big donors of hundreds of thousands of dollars, but the widow's mite keeps this apostolate going. And that's pure grace, pure grace. So I ask, if you want to keep this apostolate going, and we know you do, it's 40 plus years consecutively on the air, my friends, not on and off the air, consecutively. This is the way that you support this radio network. And just even drop a check or money order. And I'm saying this at the top of the program because it's the top of the year. And many of you probably have some write-offs from the end of the year. Talk to your accountant about perhaps giving something to this apostolate. It would be very, very important to keep us going. And we have no doubt that when the Lord wants the plug pulled, he will do it. As Kathleen says, she has no fear. When God wants this apostolate to go, it will go. And when he wants it to fire up and rev up, he will rev it up. It's not about us. It's not about us, my friends. It's about his holy and divine will, not our will. So when you put the surrender of your life, the surrender of an apostolate in the hands of God the Father, it's the best. It's the best annuity one could ask for. It is the best. And so at the end of your life, when you stand before God the Father, he will say, well, you know, Joe, Mary, Sue, what did you do for the least of my brothers? Did you feed the poor? Did you give them your shoes? Did you send a dollar to a radio or Catholic apostolate in need, to your parish in particular? To your parish? Did you support your pastor? These are the questions. This is part of the examination of conscience. You know, we need to take a look at this. And also, how many of your grandchildren know about the Ten Commandments? Really? Can you quote the Ten Commandments? Can you line them up against an examination of conscience? I know those who went to Catholic school in the old days know all this, and I'm sure some Catholic schools are excellent at catechizing their students at this. But there's a huge gap, a huge gap that we need to fill. So today, we will be talking with Father Jason Kozinski. He is the pastor of Holy Martyrs Catholic Church in Orland, Pennsylvania. He is the national director of the Archconfraternity of St. Philomena. He's a former chaplain for 12 years in diocesan high schools, and he's the liaison for the traditional Latin Mass here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. He's also a friend of this apostolate, and I can't think of a greater person to have live on the air than Father Jason. Welcome, Father Jason. You're live on the air.
Thank you. Great to be with you. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, Happy New Year to you. We have some two big topics today, I told our listeners.
I know. My desk is littered with papers, so I don't get anything wrong here.
Well, you won't, because a lot of this you already have in your head. Where do you want to start, Father? Do you want to start?
Well, you know what? Let's start new with the new year.
Okay.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't think anybody is sad to see 2020 behind us. you know, there are all those jokes about 2020 vision or hindsight is 2020, but let's look ahead. And since we're going to be talking about an examination of conscience, you know, I think it's very much connected to one of the great traditions of beginning a new year, and that is making a New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And how in the world can you resolve to do anything that might be fruitful unless you examine what's not quite right in your life now?
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes. So what's the first step?
So we need to, you know, look at what isn't quite right. And what can we fix? I mean, people make all sorts of, you know, resolutions, some of them very noble, some of them way too much. Some people just bite off way much more than they can chew. You know, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this week, you know, and, well, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, more important for our purposes, the resolution in the spiritual realm. What are our spiritual New Year's resolutions? So you're going to, people say, well, I'm going to pray the rosary 3 times every day. Well, that's an awful lot. Let's start with once.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start, if you haven't prayed the rosary every day, I know many people do, let's start with a decade of the rosary. What small steps can we take that we might actually keep? You know, for example, people start Lent with all sorts of good resolutions, and then by the second week of Lent, they've forgotten what they were, because they've set the bar too high. We're going to give up on things that we find too difficult. But most importantly, we need to find something that isn't just, you know, like we're going to do this or that, but something that is really profitable, something that's going to improve our lives so that we can see the goodness of doing this thing, and then it won't be something that you want to give up on. You know, I remember many, many years ago, I'm thinking of, I was on retreat before ordination. That was like 100 years ago. And, you know, making a holy hour every day. And, you know, for some people, that's a difficult thing, and it's a really hard thing to keep up. And honestly, I hope Archbishop Sheen isn't listening, but I haven't kept it up every day. But I find that, you know, when you start out, you think, this is going to be hard, this is going to be long. But once you get into it, you think like, wow, an hour is just not enough. You know, I remember after some really good retreats, getting in the car to drive home and not even wanting the noise of a radio. And so I think, you know, all of these things are really good. And if we try them, we'll see the goodness, we'll see the benefit. And in the end, you know, we won't want to give it up. The problem is the devil is going to try to tear it away from us. And the devil is going to throw in all sorts of distractions and all sorts of thoughts you have to do this, and now you have to go back to this, and this is going to happen. And so we need to be, I think, you know, resolute in what we choose. It needs to be something that is good and something really, I think, most importantly, that is doable. And so at the beginning of the year, you know, we look at what is our resolution going to be. And so what is our spiritual resolution going to be? So if we look, you know, in terms of an examination of conscience, you know, really we do this officially in the church several times a day. For people who go to, you know, daily Mass especially, every day at the beginning of Mass, you know, let us call to mind our sins to prepare ourselves for these sacred mysteries. And then we pray the Confiteor, or sometimes the other option with the intentions or the statements about the Lord's mercy, and you know we pray, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. So that's one time that, you know, we stop to examine our conscience, and I think that for a lot of people, you know, just we quickly go through it and like, okay, let's get on with this. We have to do this or that, and so let's start with the resolution, maybe to take those moments more seriously. When at Mass the priest celebrant says, you know, let us call to mind our sins, let's do that. Again, you know, it's a very short time, so we need to be, you know, a little bit prepared for Mass before we start. And then at the end of the day, at night prayer, when people pray Compline, if they do, in the Liturgy of the Hours, there is a time at the very beginning for an examination of conscience. Traditionally in the church, at the end of the day, it's always been a very good practice to examine your conscience. And to look at, you know, how did this day go? What could I have done better? Oh, you know, let me look at the events of my day and see what went wrong. And maybe, well, why did it go wrong? How did it go wrong? And what can I do then to fix that? And so at the end of the day, again, at night prayer, the last hour of the day, we stop and examine our conscience. And so that's another important practice. And I think so. Then, what do we look at? And so, you know, there are so many writings. So many people have written an examination of conscience. Preparing for this, you know, there's an examination of conscience for young people. There's an examination of conscience for working people. There's an examination of conscience for single people. There are so many people with so many thoughts, you know, and most of them, though, I see are based on a couple of things. One, based on the Ten Commandments. But, of course, that can be a little bit of a problem because, you know, we say, well, I am the Lord your God. You'll have no strange gods before me. Well, yeah, I'm not worshiping any idols. You know, that would be really bad to worship an idol. But the idols that we have in our lives most often are not physical idols. But there are things that distract us from God. And, for example, so something, a hobby, might keep you from praying. Something, your family, some other event might keep you from attending Mass on Sunday. And so those are things that you have made more important than the worship of God. And that's kind of key. And so another examination starts out, in instead of Ten Commandments, so three parts. Responsibilities to God, as I was saying. So do I go to Mass every Sunday? And when I'm at Mass, you know, am I paying attention? It's very easy, even for the priest, to be distracted. You know, someone gets up to go use the restroom, and like, where are they going? Or someone, you know, walks in the middle of something. It's like, you know, you need to kind of quickly refocus yourself. So what attention, what worship do I really give to God when I'm at Mass? That very important, I think. And like I said, let's start with the penitential, right? The act of penitence, it's called now, at the beginning of Mass. What are these things that are keeping me from God? And sometimes, even in that moment, we stop for a moment of silence. People are uncomfortable with silence, and their mind starts to wander, even as you're supposed to be doing something else. So responsibilities to God. Of course, it's the first three commandments. Responsibility to others, and then we can go through the rest of the commandments. Honor your father and your mother. Are you respectful to your parents? How do you treat them? So it's a difficult thing. And then we get to, like, you shall not kill. So people skip over that one really quickly, I think, because it's like, well, okay, I didn't kill anybody today. But there are other ways to kill people. There are ways that if you were to just, for no good reason, shut someone out of your life, they are dead to you. That's a sin. There are some people, of course, in your life who are not good influences. Everybody's had them. And it's really good to leave them behind. And so maybe, you know, go on in another direction, find some good influences that are going to help you in your spiritual life. But everybody has had bad influences that really need to be put aside. And sometimes those are the people that we don't. But how is this relationship? How have I treated people? Have I been hateful? There are reasons, you know, I think in everybody, even if you have a spiritual director, I said it's kind of like dignified or permissible complaining. You can complain about the worst things of your day to your spiritual director, ideally with an eye to growth in those areas. And so you need to talk about those things and the difficulties and maybe the people who get on your nerves. Where to do that in another forum would be a sin. You know, it's good to do these things. And that, you know, I think looking at in an examine of conscience, you look at these things very honestly and consider, okay, if this person treated me this way, what was my response? Was that an appropriate response? Was it an inappropriate response? And so I think, you know, things like that. And then we get to, the other commandments, you shall not commit adultery. I mean, the relationship of chastity. Chastity is for everyone, for single people, for married people. There's a certain way of life that is appropriate for each state of life. And, you know, so those are all questions that people will consider. You shall not steal. People say, well, it was just this or, you know, just that. Bearing false witness against your neighbor. People say, oh, it was just a little white lie. And, you know, I've often said that lies are lies. They're little, big, white, black, green, it doesn't really matter. If someone has a right to the truth and you don't tell them the truth, That's a sin. There are cases, though, however, and it gets very difficult. There are some people who, you know, ask you a question, and it's none of their business, honestly. It's honestly none of their business. And so, you know, say, well, you know, you can say, well, sorry, it's none of your business. Or, you know, you can, you know, just not respond. You know, of course, be careful, too. Silence gives consent. So it's not a simple thing. That's why, as I said, I found dozens and dozens of examinations of conscience, traditionally called the examen. So I think that's a good place to start. I think these are things that, again, not only when you're preparing for confession, although that's very important, as I said, the commandment's a good place to start. Lots of resources out there for people who are looking for something, a little bit more help to go a little more depth into what is really covered by these commandments. Go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Always a great place to start for a lot of these things, for anything to do with the faith, of course. So I think that's good. There's a really good start. How's that for the examination of conscience?
I think it's excellent. And if you're just tuning in, our special guest today is Father Jason Kolzinski, and we're talking about the examination of conscience. And after the break, we'll be talking about the year of St. Joseph. Father, I'm just thinking about some of our listeners who think one fell sweep of, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, is enough. Is it enough just to say and pray that?
Well, that gets in. We could do a whole other show on, of course, the Catholic understanding of Jesus' ministry of reconciliation entrusted to his priests. People will say, well, I can just confess my sins to God, and God will forgive me. That's true. But the fact is that we are physical and symbolic people. We live in a tangible world. And so it's not the same to just say, okay, God, forgive me for my sins, as it is to, in confession, say these things, because you need to work through them. And as I said, complaining, as it were, in quotes, to your spiritual director about something, in confession, it puts it out there, and you can look at it. To keep it inside yourself is not the same thing. That's why people go to counselors, because it's important to speak these things. But the important part also is you need to make some satisfaction for the things that you've done, and that happens in the penance. Priest will give you a penance to make up for what you've done. You know, maybe if you stole something, you have to give it back. I mean, you can't come and say, well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep this, whatever. And also really important to the sacrament is, in the end, the priest says, without a doubt, by the authority given to him by Jesus, you are forgiven. And hearing that is really important. It's not the same as just praying to God and saying, okay, God, forgive me. Oh, yeah, God loves me, and so I'm forgiven. It's always said, you know, God loves you the way you are, but loves you too much to let you stay that way. And so all of these things, all of these components are well thought out in the ministry of reconciliation that Jesus handed on to his apostles and to their co-workers, the priests. So I think, that's all very important. But like I said, we could do a whole other show on the Catholic sacrament of reconciliation.
Yeah, I'm thinking, Father, at one time I heard, I think it was Ralph Martin, talking about when a priest provides absolution, the healing balm, B-A-L-M, of the Lord is extended to the person in confession. So many people don't realize that confessing one's sins or an issue is also a healing moment with the Lord. It's a healing moment. Not only is it freeing and you're forgiven, but also it is it's a healing balm.
Sure.
B-A-L-M.
It's also, there's also another difficulty that we face is that, feelings, everyone today is like, oh, I feel this or I feel that, or you made me feel this way. But it's not about feelings, Very many people say, well, I went to confession, but I don't feel forgiven.
Mm.
And that, our feelings, in a lot of these things are immaterial. Let's look at Saint Mother Teresa. She didn't feel anything, we find out from her memoirs, for 30 years of her life. She didn't feel that God was listening. She didn't feel that any of this, was working. But she knew that this was what was right and true. She had followed her vocation and knew that this is where God called her to be. And in the end, her ministry to the poorest of the poor was not about how she felt about it, but about the fact that it was good and right and a beautiful thing to do. You know, so often, you know, the story is told, and, you know, there are so many stories attributed to, like Mother Teresa, for example, that may or may not be true, so many quotes as well. But apparently, you know, the story is told that someone asked her or said to her in an interview, said, you know, Mother, I wouldn't do this work with these lepers for $1 million. And supposedly she responded, neither would I.
Wow.
Because it wasn't about money or about reward or in this, you know, sense about feelings. It was about doing what God had called her to do, and God had brought her to that moment. So,
well, I'm left breathless because Saint Mother Teresa, one of her spiritual directors and confidant and Vatican diplomat is a friend of mine, Father Leo Mosberg, who lives in Austria right now, and he authored a book after her death and was part of her beatification and, of course, canonization. And he told me how she suffered quietly. No one ever knew.
Sure.
No one. I mean, he traveled probably 30 countries. And he said one would never know. She would be very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But in that silence, there were miracles in action. Miracles.
Sure.
And she prayed all the time for those who were sinful and those who, you know, we would call decadent, and she loved them and embraced them, and in that silence and in that loving moment, God's graces were dispelled. So there's great beauty in the examination of conscience, and we have that, don't we? In all the lives of the saints, we have examples of that.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm in awe. I'm thinking now you have, what, 130 relics?
150 some, yeah.
Oh, damn, we're up to 150
yeah,
some.
They're growing.
just to take the lives of some of the saints, of the relics that you have, and perhaps someday we could do a program on picking. You could choose certain saints that have really maybe even been left behind that we don't hear very much of.
There are so many instances. Now that you brought up relics, we have another show. you know, so there are so many times people will, you know, will give me a relic of someone I've never heard of. Or at one point, someone gave me about 30 relics. Many from the Carmelites and saints and martyrs I had never heard of, and then it's an opportunity for me to research that, and then when of course they're on display, you know, I can have a brief story of the saint's life. But there are many saints that I have never heard of. I didn't realize there were groups of martyrs from different orders, and it's been a learning experience for me too to look at the lives of the saints and to see how many of them had great difficulties and really did just suffer in silence. But, you know, really there are many good people who do that. Many people do, suffer in silence. So I think that's it's a great virtue to cultivate, you know, patience. Patience, of course, as I said, patience is a virtue. But, you know, many people are not good at it. It's difficult. And when you're with someone, you know, like I said, maybe your spiritual director, maybe just a good friend, you know, and you vent, it's not the same as gossiping. It's just trying to work through things and, you know, get them out into the physical realm. And that was that's the importance of the sacraments for the Catholic Church, that they are, by the definition that I guess at least we learned, in other younger generations haven't so much, but the outward sign instituted by Christ that gives grace. And so, you know, there are so many instances. We could do a whole other show on this too. Like, so example for marriage, you know, it is to give grace. If it is actually a sacrament, it gives grace, and it sanctifies the husband and the wife. These sacraments, by their very definition, give grace. And now that grace is available. That doesn't mean we're going to accept it and use it. So we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive at confirmation. But many people don't even bother to open the gift. And it sits there and says, well, I don't feel anything. I don't think anything's happening. And but it is. And we need to know that. We need to believe that by faith. That's what faith is. We believe that God speaks to us and that his word is true. and that his promises to us are good, and he's not going to, you know, go back on them. He said that this is what happens. Jesus, the Son of God, the ultimate revelation of the Father, you know, we just celebrated Epiphany, the manifestation of the incarnation is the birth of the Lord, the Nativity. And there are so many epiphanies, though. Actually, the Feast of Epiphany itself, the visit of the Magi, people associate that with. But the Church recognizes other moments in the life of Christ where his divinity was revealed. One of them in the baptism at the Jordan, when he comes out of the water and the Father's voice is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son."
Yes.
And again at the miracle at Cana, his first miracle, where he turns the water into wine, and people are amazed. Another revelation. So those three moments are all celebrated on as the Epiphany, you know, the manifestation. So very interesting. People kind of limit it to like three kings, although the Scripture doesn't say that there are three. So that's a whole other show too.
Yes.
Look at this. We're good for the next year.
Well, that sounds good to me. But in the meantime, Father, just hold on the line. We're going to cut to a commercial break. And my friends, after we return, we're going to be talking about the year of St. Joseph. So please stay tuned.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
My friends, it's great to be back with you. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. And Thy Will Be Done. I'm your host, Ann McGlone, and our special guest today, the beginning of 2021, is Father Jason Kozinski. He's the pastor of Holy Martyrs Catholic Church in Orland, Pennsylvania, national director of the Archconfraternity of St. Philomena, former chaplain for over 12 years in diocesan high schools, and the list goes on and on. We've been talking about an examination of conscience, and now we're going to move into the very important year of St. Joseph. And many people don't even know that this exists, Father Jason. And I wanted you to tell our listeners about why this year has been called the Year of St. Joseph.
Well, you shouldn't feel bad if you didn't hear about it, because everybody was surprised, including all of us priests. there was no advance notice. Normally, when a year of Jubilee comes around, the Vatican will, you know, put out a flyer saying, on such and such a date, we begin the year of Saint whatever. We begin the year of mercy. We begin the year of the priest. We begin the year of whatever. And then it will go until such and such a date. But there was no forewarning. People have said that, you know, this current Holy Father is the Pope of surprises. You know, some people like surprises and some people don't. And so it just happened that on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, Pope Francis, just in the middle of a talk or a homily, just announced, well, Year of St. Joseph begins today. And so, you know, I have to, you know, say Father Calloway writing in this Consecration of St. Joseph,
yeah.
he got that out there in a hurry, although I think he had that already in the works. And so actually I met him years ago at a conference, and I gave him the book on St. Philomena. And now I notice that he dedicates some of his books to St. Philomena. So that was great. But so there's a great book out there, Consecration to St. Joseph, for this year. But so I have to say these breaks come on very quickly. And so, Anne, I'd like you to be in a few minutes before the end. There's a wonderful prayer to St. Joseph.
Oh, okay.
That I want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
It was written by Pope Leo XIII. And everybody should recognize Pope Leo XIII by name, because he wrote another important prayer.
St. Michael.
Prayer to St. Michael the Archangel.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with that?
Yes.
And he was also a great patron of St. Philomena.
So, really?
But he wrote this wonderful prayer to St. Joseph, as well as an encyclical letter on devotion to St. Joseph. Really, I'd like to talk about all of that, but I would like to pray this prayer at the end, because you would think that it was written for our day today. So as any, you know, any great writing, any great, you know, whether it's a work of literature, spiritual writing, it's sort of timeless. And so in the end, on December 8th, which was the 150th anniversary of the declaration by Pope Pius IX, who declared St. Joseph the patron of the Universal Church on December 8th in 1870. So it was the 150th anniversary, and Pope Francis announced that we were going to have a year in honor of St. Joseph. And the letter that he wrote is titled, With a Father's Heart. And basically the thought continues that with a father's heart, Joseph loved Jesus. And so that letter also is available for people to read. It was based on, though, as I said, the declaration of Joseph as patron of the Universal Church in 1870. And Pope Pius IX writes, you know, that Joseph, the son of the patriarch Jacob, you know, and God chooses to send his only begotten son to the earth as savior of the world. And he chooses another Joseph to be the chief of his household and his possessions and the guardian of his choicest treasures. And so if you read these letters too, you'll see. So the Holy Father, Pius IX, is writing in these difficult times. There are difficult times or actually every time. I think people say, oh, we're living in, you know, these are the worst days, or, you know, and there were difficult times in everyone's life, in every generation, in every century. And so he was writing and then declares St. Joseph the patron of the Universal Church. Now, St. Joseph is patron of many, many things. He's the patron against doubt. And if we have time, I'd like to go through the sorrows and the joys of St. Joseph. Have you heard of those, Anne?
No, I have not.
Yeah, so there you know, there are sorrows. And what's interesting about the sorrows and joys of St. Joseph are that they're kind of paired up. Unlike the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, they are the sorrows and the joys, and they seem to be always written together so that the sorrow leads to a joy. And, well, maybe since I brought it up, I should just, let's start there with the sorrows and the joys. And there was a story that I hadn't heard this story before. I had heard of the sorrows, but apparently there were some Franciscans who were shipwrecked, and they were hanging on to a board in the ocean, and for 3 days and three nights they prayed to St. Joseph. And after 3 days and three nights, a young man appeared to them who conducted them to safety. And when they asked his name, because they were very grateful, he saved their life, he said he was St. Joseph. And then he advised them to meditate every day on the seven sorrows and joys of his life that we read in the scriptures. And so we see, like, the first sorrow and joy, the doubt of Joseph concerning Mary, telling him that, you know, gee, I'm having a child, but it's, don't worry, it's the Son of God. But then the joy is the message of the angel that Joseph receives and says, don't worry, Mary is telling you the truth. Have no fear about taking her as your wife. And the second, sorrow and joy. So Jesus is then born in Bethlehem in great poverty. There's no room for them in the inn. But Joseph, in the context of that really unusual, disappointing birth of this child, he is awed at witnessing the birth of the Son of God and the shepherds and the Magi and all of this happening around this child. And thirdly, Joseph witnesses Jesus' pain in the temple at his circumcision. But at the same time, he has the privilege of bestowing the holy name of Jesus. It was the name that the angel gave him, that was really given by God himself. And in the, you see in the scriptures that naming someone indicates a particular and intimate relationship, just as Adam was told to name all the animals and name all the things of creation, because they were going to be, you know, then he was going to be the superior over all of those things. And then the fourth, sorrow and joy, the agony of hearing Simon's prophecy about what would happen to his wife. And then receiving the good news, though, that this child was going to be, you know, the Redeemer and bring salvation to the world. And the fifth, sorrow and joy, the flight into Egypt. They flee to escape the massacre of the innocents by the cruelty of Herod. And then finally, arriving there, they see the overthrow in this child of the idolatry of the Egyptian pagan religion. And sixth, the fear of returning to Egypt. So we know that from Egypt, Herod's son now was in power. But then Joseph receives another message. Oh, don't worry, we'll take care of it. You can go to Nazareth. And of course, in Nazareth is where the Messiah was going to be coming from. In some scriptures, the translation, he shall be called a Nazarene. And seventh, very familiar to anyone who prays the rosary, the loss of the child Jesus in Jerusalem, and then the relief of finding him in the temple, talking to the doctors and the teachers of the law. So there's a good meditation for the year of St. Joseph. As I said, he's the patron of so many things. There's a list here, accountants and attorneys and cabinet makers, carpenters, obviously, educators, exiles, expectant mothers, families, fathers, people looking for a home. That's a pretty familiar one for some people. Mm-hmm. People pray to St. Joseph when they're trying to sell their home or trying to buy a home. And so there are all sorts of, there are other traditions associated with that. I don't really recommend burying statues. I think
that's superstitious.
But certainly praying to St. Joseph, mm-hmm. for the needs of families, for the needs of, anyone who has something to do with a family life. Certainly difficult. So there, you can look those up yourself. There are lots of things that St. Joseph is patron of. And so, in this letter, Pope Francis recalls this document making Joseph the patron of the Universal Church. And then, soon after that being declared patron of the Universal Church, Pope Leo XIII, and we're gonna, I'd like to read that prayer. We can pray that prayer mm-hmm. together. Wrote an encyclical about devotion to St. Joseph in 1889. And as I read this, I thought, well, this could definitely be written today. And he said, you know, the Church has always recommended special prayers for the good of the Catholic Church. And he says, at the present moment, in the difficulties we face, it will be no surprise to anyone that I'm going to request the same. He writes in this, the title is Quam Plurias, but the encyclical of Pope Leo XIII on devotion to St. Joseph. He says, during periods of stress and trial, chiefly when every lawless act seems permitted to the powers of darkness, the Church has prayed with special fervor and perseverance to God by recourse to the intercession of the saints, and chiefly the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, whose patronage is always most efficacious. And now, he said, in the times in which we live, they're no less deplorable for the Christian religion and most difficult for the Church. And he said, we see the root of Christian virtues, which is faith, lessening in many people. We see charity growing cold, the young generation daily growing in depravity of morals and views. Now, he's writing this in 1889. He says, we see the Church of Jesus Christ attacked on every side by open force or by craft, a relentless war waged against the pontiff, and the very foundations of religion undermined with a boldness which grows daily in intensity. And he says these things, everyone knows them well. And so he says that in addition to the Blessed Virgin Mary, he recommends prayers to the spouse of the Virgin Mary, Blessed Joseph. So, I mean, it's just interesting that these things that were written, so this could have been written today. It would be hard to believe if you read it that it was written in 1889. But there are, you know, there are so many times where the Church has turned to the patronage of the saints. And so this year, no less difficult in our day, our times for the Church, for the world, for society, for young people, for the faith is being attacked. Charity, where, you know, we see lots of attacks and lots of hatred in our society. We see all sorts of problems. I mean, young people are misled every day. We see what's happening to the young generation. And it's hard to believe some of the things that we are being asked to accept as normal. It's really quite unbelievable. And so these things, so in this day now, the Holy Father directs, you know, our prayers directed to St. Joseph, just like in these other days. And so he declared this Jubilee year of St. Joseph. And so, and along with this year, he has granted important indulgences.
Yes.
I think we talked about that on another show, the indulgences.
Right, but not for with St. Joseph.
And Jesus, mm-hmm. The Church can apply to people the forgiveness of temporal punishment for sin. Certainly, Jesus suffered greatly, but of course had no need to atone for sin for himself,
mm-hmm.
But he does for us. And so a plenary indulgence is granted by the Church to people who make a sacramental confession, receive Holy Communion, pray for the intentions of the Holy Father, and be detached from sin. That's important for sacramental confession as well. We need to have a real firm purpose of amendment, as we say in the act of contrition, to sin no more. We need to really say that with great sincerity. And so the Holy Father has now granted through the penitentiary, the apostolic penitentiary, the different conditions for receiving this plenary indulgence. And I'll read them in case you didn't see them. So the plenary indulgence is granted to those who will meditate for at least 30 minutes on the Lord's Prayer or take part in a spiritual retreat of at least one day. That includes a meditation on St. Joseph. The indulgence can also be obtained by those who, following St. Joseph's example, will perform some spiritual or corporal work of mercy. The recitation of the Holy Rosary in families and among engaged couples is another way of obtaining these indulgences. Certainly, Joseph as patron of the family, patron of spouses, of married life. And anyone who entrusts their daily activity to the protection of St. Joseph and the faithful who invoke the intercession of St. Joseph also can receive this plenary indulgence. The Litany of St. Joseph, also recommended. We looked at the joys and the sorrows, but there's also a litany to St. Joseph, as there is to the Blessed Mother, the Litany of Loretto, and to many of the saints, there were litanies written. We all know that St. John Vianney wrote the litany in honor of St. Philomena, but that's, again, another story. And so there are many different opportunities now for people to receive special graces and indulgences during this year entrusted, you know, especially to St. Joseph, certainly to pray for our world and our society and in these very strange, very difficult days. As I said at the beginning, no one is, I think, looking back on 2020 with fondness,
mm-hmm.
And we're just hoping for a better year ahead. And so really, as in one of these documents that the Holy Father writes, maybe it was Pius IX, that we've exhausted ourselves, and there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing physical or temporal or human that we can do to fix all of this. And the only thing that we can do is entrust ourselves to divine providence and to pray fervently and perseveringly for help in this difficult time. And I think that's, does that say it all?
It does say it all. And my friends, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Father Jason Kulczynski, and we're talking about the year of St. Joseph, which started on December 8th of 2020 and ends on December 8th, 2021. And I highly recommend the consecration of St. Joseph by Father Don Callaway, and I hope to have him as a guest in the coming weeks. and the special prayers, and to look into the devotional prayer from 1889 from Pope Leo, which, Father, if you wouldn't mind, could you please pray that special prayer written by Pope Leo?
Okay, so this prayer was it concluded the encyclical letter that he wrote. And so let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The prayer to St. Joseph. To you, O blessed Joseph, do we come in our tribulation, and having implored the help of your most holy spouse, we confidently invoke your patronage also. Through that charity which bound you to the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God, and through the paternal love with which you embraced the child Jesus, we humbly beg you graciously to regard the inheritance which Jesus Christ has purchased by his blood, and with your power and strength to aid us in our necessities. O most watchful guardian of the Holy Family, defend the chosen children of Jesus Christ. O most loving Father, ward off from us every contagion of error and corrupting influence. O our most mighty protector, be kind to us, and from heaven, assist us in our struggle with the powers of darkness. As once you rescued the child Jesus from deadly peril, so now protect God's holy church from the snares of the enemy and from all adversity. Shield, too, each one of us by your constant protection, so that supported by your example and your aid, we may be able to live piously, to die in holiness, and to obtain eternal happiness in heaven. Amen.
Amen. And one can look this up on the internet. You can look it up. And how would one find this, Father?
Well, if you just put in Pope Leo XIII and prayer to St. Joseph, you'll find it in your search engine.
And I just discovered in my research before the program that Pope Francis, for over 40 years, in morning prayer, recited a prayer to St. Joseph, taken from a 19th century French prayer book of the Congregation of the Sisters of Jesus and Mary. And one can find this. And I just want to just quickly, it's only a couple lines. My beloved Father, all my trust is in you. Let it not be said that I invoked you in vain, and since you can do everything with Jesus and Mary, show me that your goodness is as great as your power. Amen.
Amen.
Father Jason, may we have your priestly blessing today for the program, for all our listeners starting the new year with us.
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Bow for the blessing. May God, who has bestowed sublime dignity on his most faithful servant, bless you and keep you in peace and at peace with one another. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Well, thank you, Father, for taking time out of your busy schedule. As usual, you're a delight.
Always a pleasure.
And it's always wonderful to impart this information to our listeners. And we hope to have you back soon.
Absolutely. All right.
All right. Happy New Year.
Maybe someday we can actually do this in person.
I would love that, but you would have a long haul. I think probably an hour drive.
Well, you know, that's what cars are for.
I would love that.
God bless you and all your listeners, and thanks so much for inviting me to be with you today, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Father. Thank you, and God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, our special guest today was Father Jason Kolzinski, and he's been on the air with us several times, and as you know, he's the National Director of the Archconfraternity of St. Philomena. And if you want to go visit his 150-some relics, he's the pastor of Holy Martyrs Catholic Church in Orland, Pennsylvania. Just give a call to the rectory. I know he said today it's well over 150 relics. And he sometimes goes out and will go to a parish or to a retreat house. He did before the pandemic and give an explanation of the relics. And perhaps we can have him on the air with us with these relics as well. When the pandemic's over, it's not good to have more than one person in the studio. So I delight in knowing that he would like to be with us live in the studio. He calls in from his parish in Orland, Pennsylvania. I have a big lineup for you this year, friends. We have a big lineup. Usually the Lord gives me a word for the year, and last year it was hope. And this year, are you ready? I wish I had a bell like the old Dom Lettieri days. Ring the bell. Endurance. Endurance. The Lord gave me the word endurance. And so throughout all of the programming this year, it will be led towards the theme of endurance, spiritually, physically, emotionally. And we'll be talking about many topics to give you hope and to give you the strength to motivate you to continue in your faith journey, my friends. Look to this apostolate. Look to this apostolate as your guiding star throughout this year. And don't be afraid. The Lord does not want you to be afraid. He wants you to be, as we all say, people of joy, people of hope. And this is why it's important to understand things like the examination of conscience, how important it is not to just throw it out the window and say, oh, that was pre-Vatican II. No, the Lord wants you and I to think and pray about the sins that we've committed through the day and to have a resolution of love and mercy extended towards others. Perhaps we can have one event a week or one time a week that we extend our hands out of our comfort zone this year. I wanted to share with you briefly before the end of the program. Last night, I was up the entire night, could not sleep for 5 minutes, praying. The Lord just kept putting names and faces in front of me, praying. And I believe it was a Kathleen McCarthy moment. I did not wake up real tired. It's amazing. I don't think I had 10 minutes of sleep. He had me praying all night. And one of the things that occurred to me, and I have to really pray into it and take it before a priest friend, is that it would be important for this apostolate to have groups of people to be committed to pray the divine mercy for specific hospitals. So many people are in the hospitals now and nursing homes with COVID. We need to be covering them through the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So I'm praying into this, my friends, about what the Lord wants, exactly wants. And that is, if you're listening to this program, for example, that you would be committed to a particular hospital in your area to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet at least once a day for all the people who are in that hospital. People are dying alone. They're dying without the sacraments. They're dying quickly. And we need to be people of faith to do something. And we can. We know the power of intercessory prayer. And the Lord placed this on my heart last night. And I have to play it out in prayer and take it before spiritual direction. And that is, we will gather even the listeners from this radio broadcast to be committed to specific hospitals to pray throughout this year the Divine Mercy Chaplet once a day for that hospital and all the people who are in it. So pray on it for me. Pray the Lord shows me what he wants or shows Kathleen what he wants, and help us to pray in the meantime for all those who are alone or who do not know the Lord at this time. So, my friends, until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. She loves you so much. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.